Thank you for joining us for this Repertoire podcast. And now, your host, Scott Adams.
Hey guys, Scott Adams here with Repertoire Magazine. I'm about to have a conversation with three good guys that I think you'll get a kick out of. A lot of good conversation here today around some key things that we can all be doing to sell more in 2021, given the new norm, some skill sets. Brian Sullivan, who's a former Welch Allyn guy, who's become one of our industry's leading sales trainers. He wrote the book, 20 Days to the Top, is on the call with us. And he's been working with the MedPro team, who I've also got on the call. Manny and Gino will be on the call with us to discuss some of the things that they've, some success stories, some also some things they've implemented, but really to talk about things that you, the listener, can implement into your daily routine to help you sell more things and get ahead of it this coming year in 2021, until we can get back to face-to-face, which I think we will at some point. But until then, you got to be really honed in on your skills using Zoom or Teams. And the key is to have as many of those types of demos and meetings and in-services face-to-face via your laptop as you can on a weekly basis to drive sales this year in 2021. So with that, let's don't go any waiting. I don't want to keep talking your ears off anymore. Let's get right into the questions. Hey everyone, Scott Adams here. So excited to have a good conversation with my good friend Manny and Sully and Gino today. We're talking about a whole bunch of different topics, but the main thing is, as we're in the new norm, you know, what are some of the things that we can all be doing to help drive conversations, Zoom calls, go-to meeting calls, all of the ways that we're out pitching today. And the MedPro guys have done a phenomenal job. And they also have enlisted the help of Brian Sullivan in doing some real training and skill building around hosting some of these meetings. So we wanted to get them on the call today on the podcast and just have a good conversation with them that may give you guys some ideas as you're out making sales calls yourself. So Manny, I'm going to start with you today. You know, talk a little bit about some of the measures that MedPro's taken to arm your salespeople with the skills they need, you know, while selling in an environment full of COVID and having to be home and all that good stuff. And then some of the training and in-person stuff.
Sure. Absolutely. Very happy to be here. Great topic. I think a timely topic for all of us. And the times that we're dealing with today, I would say evolving and changing times, challenging all in one breath. I think as we continue to manage through the pandemic and continue to focus on our customers, end users, distributors, and our manufacturers, we have to continue to figure out ways to continue to communicate properly and meet our customers' expectations. It's not been easy. The evolution of early COVID and the shutdown of elective surgeries, the depression of reps actually being able to get out into the field, all of these things mounted over time, and we have to adapt. So some of the things that we've entertained from where we were in the beginning to just getting out and making sure we were making phone calls and touching base with customers and working through our distributor partners, to the virtual meetings and how they were conducted. Early on, I could tell you, we instructed our team to just get out there and make sure that you're connected. And that kind of started with virtual happy hours. And when we look back at that, the outcomes were good connection, good communication to touch base, but primarily everybody forgot about what the call was or the purpose of the call. Because everybody was intoxicated by the end of the happy hour. So I think as we move forward, we started to review, you know, what we really wanted to gain as an outcome and an objective. We reached out to Brian and the programs he has been running, which were a huge impact for our organization. All of our field sales representatives have gone through Brian's program, extensive training on how to properly conduct a virtual meeting. And With that said, I think you'll hear some real life examples of the effectiveness of actually pulling off a productive call. Today, I look at my team and what they're doing and how they're set up from what they call virtual demo labs that they've put together at home, and the ability for them to really extend the relationships that they've had throughout the distribution community. Reps tend to fall into their comfort zone with certain relationships that they're close with. But I think one of the top things that have come up out of this training was Brian's ability to expand our reach through distributor field reps that we may not have been in contact with when we were jumping in the car and doing ride-alongs. That has been one of the major outcomes of our network really getting larger. And that helps all of our constituents when it comes to the supply chain, our manufacturer partners. It's really been an effective training program. And I think you'll hear today a little bit of how that's accomplished within the field sales organization. And I think the responses from our end users has been phenomenal.
I think it's interesting you just threw out that you've expanded your reach with distribution under these circumstances. You should be applauded for that for sure. I wonder if that's a trend across the board with manufacturers, as I know from our side, the consumption of content that we're putting out is through the roof. I think I told you guys in an earlier call that, you know, Repertoire's website's up 800% in the last 12 months versus the 12 months before. And solely because the reps are at their desk, they're in front of their computer, they're not on their phone or windshield time. So Manny, tell me a little bit about the tools that you've provided the team and how effective they've been, you know, different things like the platforms they're using, whether that's Zoom or GoToMeetings or Teams, as well as some of the marketing assets and resources that you're using. And then Sully, after he gets done, I'd like you to just kind of jump in and talk about some of the skill sets that you've really worked with these guys on with some of these tools.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll start, and certainly Sully will be able to give you a lot of the specific toolkits that we're using today. But certainly MedPro, from the very beginning, we've always been committed to making sure we remain, you know, relevant and out there and available to our distributor partners as well as our manufacturers that we represent. Certainly on our marketing platform, we've been committed to the Repertoire Shared Services Program and continuing to deliver that message in all areas of our business. As we evolve to the virtual sites such as Zoom and GoTo, Teams, Skype, each has a little bit of a different way of delivering a message. What we wanted to do is really reinforce how to be able and answer the question, is it possible to gain access, gain a level of attention from an end user, and present a sales call that an outcome could turn into an actual sale? And the answer to that is definitively yes. And I think Brian, you could jump in here on some of the ways that we are now using based on some of the training that you've provided us with.
Yeah, so Scotty, I'll go back to something you said, that content really matters right now, but I'd say even more importantly are specific skills that we need. So, you know, we all kind of, well, there was a few different types of companies out there last year I witnessed. There were those who kind of went into retreat mode. You know, everyone kind of just lay low. You almost felt guilty for making sales calls, right? Then you had the kind of wait and see crew where it was almost okay to be mildly lame. I don't have to make a lot of sales calls. And then there were some folks who actually took advantage of the situation and said, listen, while everyone's retreating, we're going to go into full attack mode, right? And those are the companies who last year actually did really well. And those are the ones who were totally primed to crush it in 2021. And so what does this attack mode mean? To me, it's really simple. Salespeople need to think of two things that they have to do better than everybody else. One, they need to make more contacts than their competitor. And what are these contacts? It means more emails. It means more cold calls. It means more Zoom presentations, or God, I hope we get back to live presentations. So in reality, if you're reaching more people, than your competitor, you're going to do better than them. Now, that's not enough. Something that Manny hit on is, you know, we had to figure out a way, can we present ourselves as good virtually as we can live? And Gino's going to pop in and kind of explain how he did it. But we focused a lot with the MedPro team on specific things. One, how can we capture, which Scotty is right up your wheelhouse, you know, the mind share of the distributor, meaning, you know, typically manufacturer reps have A, B, and C distributors. Well, to Manny's point, now is the greatest time in the world to schedule how many distribution reps you need to be speaking to each week in each one of these buckets. So I should be able to ask a manufacturer rep, like a MedPro rep, how many reps you're going to call this week or email, and that they should know that specific number. So if we're reaching those distributors and we're adding value and doing great Zoom training presentations, they're going to think of your product more than anything. The other thing we have to be really good at, both on the distribution side and the manufacturing side, is three things. We need to craft emails better than we ever did before to create curiosity, because it's a very loud email space. Number two, we need to be comfortable making the cold prospecting call and getting past the gatekeeper and pitching our value that eventually leads to a Zoom presentation. The goal is to get on the screen or to get that live presentation. And then lastly, you know, there is a difference between a lame demo, a lame Zoom presentation, and a good one. It's all coachable stuff. And it just comes with practice. And so I was so pumped to be with the MedPro team, frankly, because that's an experienced sales force right there, right? And they're a hungry bunch of folks who want to get better at this art of selling. And I got a chance to witness some unbelievable Zoom presentations. And again, Gino's going to piggyback this, where they're doing a demo. They're showing it. They were like Billy Mays, for crying out loud, pressing buttons on an EKG. They didn't need to be in my facility. That show was as good as it would have been if they drove 4 hours to Omaha. And so it's coachable stuff, but you know, we can't just say, hey, times are tough, you know, in these unprecedented times, screw that. Go in attack mode, increase our skill levels, and I promise you, we'll beat everybody else.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of to tag along and to bring Gino into the conversation. Gino, talk to me a little bit about how you and the other MedPro reps are maintaining access to the various facilities, whether that's government, acute, non-acute. Just give us a little insight to that, and maybe a success story.
Yeah, sure. I would love to speak on this. So, you know, regardless of how long you've been in this industry, whether it's been 25 years, whether it's been 10 years, whether it's been 5 years, you know, I think we can all relate when I say that 2020 was just one of the most challenging times, but just so much uncertainty, right? And with that being said, there was no blueprint or roadmap that outlined how to successfully, you know, navigate through a pandemic. So we knew we had to be dynamic. We had to be able to pivot and be creative in order for us to grow on the opposite end of this. So in our segment specifically, what we found was that, I mean, health systems, they just went on capital freeze. You had offices that were just, you know, because of allocation, they were just frantically looking at all different avenues just to get products. So with that being said, that opened the door to just a lot of different competition. So every strategy that we put in place just had to be driven from a value equity standpoint, right? So when I say that, in addition to what you're already doing, what other tools, what other educational resources or just additional value could you bring to the table to ensure that on the other side of this pandemic, you were just able to retain most, if not all, your customers, right? So with that whole concept and idea in mind, this really built the framework of our strategy moving forward. So, you know, when we met with our distribution partners or the end users, we just knew that we had to be extremely intentional and focused in order to maximize and impact the time we had with them, right? So whether it was a Zoom presentation, whether it was a clear, concise, simplistic email, we had to be effective in the way we delivered it. But I think, you know, throughout this entire time, what we were able to recognize pretty quickly was, you know, if it was the peak of the pandemic, the initial recovery, the second wave, or the recovery we're in currently, I mean, these health systems, they were looking to do two main things to either still hit their financial goal or just rescue it, right? So number one, they needed to be able to minimize their expenses or just trimming, you know, the fat as much as possible. And then number two, you know, they really had to look at ways to generate additional revenue. So looking at some of our reimbursement driven products. So with that being said, we looked at every one of our manufacturers and we aligned those manufacturers that fell within those two categories when we presented. And we just had to make it a clear, simplistic message, both for our distribution partners and customers, so that way it can resonate and really just stick with them. So just to give you an example, you know, for GE cardiovascular ultrasound, AFI strain was a campaign that we're still leading with. And AFI strain, there's a CPT code that launched in January of 2020. So right before the pandemic. And for every echo, you know, you can essentially get $40 to $50 per echo. And it's an automated measurement. So it's just an additional button push to what they're currently doing, right? So just to drive this messaging home and to even just calculate it from a financial standpoint, you know, realistically, these accounts, they're doing about 8 echoes a day. And that's, I'd say that's a fairly easy number to hit. So 8 echoes a day, that's about 40 echoes a week, right? And if you calculate that, that's $2,000 a week, which is $8,000 a month, which is $96,000 a year. So if you put that in a perspective in a pandemic, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of revenue that these, you know, these customers could be using. So this is really the type of messaging and awareness that we just wanted to, you know, we wanted to share and resonate and drive effectively to both our partners and our end users to just help be a foundational pillar throughout this pandemic.
I think the key to that is that as impressive as those numbers are that you rattled off, and it sounds like you've done that presentation once or twice, is to be able to, you have to be able to get to a Zoom call or get to a face-to-face with them as best we can in the new norm. And Sully, let me ask you this, given that we have to get to those, how long do you think we'll be in the COVID style of selling until the virus is under control indefinitely? And to what extent?
Yeah, so I really don't think it's going to change much. Ultimately, there's nothing like looking a physician or a decision maker in the eye, shaking their hand. I hope we can do that someday. So you know, we'll still want to get there when it makes sense. But again, I know a lot of the listeners today might have large sales territories. And I think the days of waking up at 5:30, again, driving 3.5 hours to do an hour demo, or maybe even an hour discovery call, it doesn't have to be done anymore. I think we can, through Zoom and through better productive phone calls, I think we can actually make more contacts throughout the day. So my hope is this last year actually forced us to be better at a few things, picking up the phone and being better virtual. And so if we can do virtual presentations that save a whole bunch of time yet still accomplish the goal, then we should be doing more than of those than ever. They'll never go away, frankly, because it's better in a lot of situations. So, I hope it doesn't change, because frankly, I don't know, guys, and Gino and Manny and even you, Scotty, I seem to be looking in more people's faces throughout the course of the day now than I was last February at this time, because people will take meetings through Zoom where otherwise maybe they wouldn't let you walk through their front door, right? It's because the walls are down a little bit more. And now it allows us to deliver our pitch. So here's the lesson, team. Don't want it to go away. Now, of course, we all want COVID to go away, but don't think we're going to get to a point where, thank God, I don't have to be good at Zoom anymore, because that sucked. Uh-uh. You have to be amazing at presenting virtually. It's not going away. And frankly, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I talk to distribution reps across the country on a weekly basis, and they're all have gotten better at it. There's some that aren't good at it, and some that have, to your point, Sully, you know, just, oh, maybe it'll go away and I won't have to do this. And I was talking to a leader of one of the nationals last week on a Zoom call, actually just having a cocktail with him, interestingly enough. And, you know, his comment was, you know, I've got reps that don't want to do it. We can't, you know, it's lead the horse to water. We can't make them drink. He goes, and then I've got other ones that are just thriving in it. And it's to your exact point. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was talking to John yesterday, Pritchard, and I'm like, man, I had so many sales calls today that I would have never been able to do a year ago, because I would be on a plane to get there. Not that I don't want that to come back, because believe me, I'm so ready to see you guys and have a cocktail and be at a trade show complaining about standing in a booth. I never thought I'd say that again. But I absolutely am. I don't know, Manny, if you or Gina want to take the next question, but are there some successes that you guys have had out there? Any new manufacturers maybe you've picked up? Just some of the things that as MedPro you guys have been doing that are a little more practical now than ever before.
Sure, I could start, and I'll let Gino chime in on real world field experience. But I could tell you from a positioning and our organization, we've been very fortunate. A lot of change has happened both in the manufacturing and distribution communities where, again, because of lack of access, there's been furloughs, there's been downsizing, and the opportunities of continuing to provide extended sales coverage to multiple markets that manufacturers participate in, and having MedPro available to do that for them has been humbly a very fortunate part of our experience over the past year. And I do want to touch on what you guys were just dovetailing on with regards to the new norm and what is the future going to be. Think about the impact of who we're becoming now, better communicators. That's going to lead to better sales leaders. And when that combination comes back together where we do have access and have the ability to get back in front of customers and combine that with who we are today, I think the aggregate is going to be a much more successful resource in sales reach and communicating and relationships and networking than ever before. So I think the combination of some of that coming back and some of what we now were forced to experience and learn is going to be powerful.
Amen.
Yeah, man, if I can just jump in there too. I mean, I agree with what all of you guys are saying. I'm a huge believer of just mindset calibration and mindset structure. And, you know, if you just look at it from a different frame of reference and just ask, how is the most challenging or painful thing that ever happened, you know, to you actually been the best thing that's happened to you, right? Whether it's from a character development standpoint or from a professional standpoint, right? How do you learn? How do you shift? And how do you grow to be better on the other side? So, you know, throughout this entire process, I think one of the most just effective, impactful things that I've been able to do to change the game for me, it's like Brian said, it's been able to generate and create these studios, right? So I have this studio in my office. And at first I was really hesitant, I'm not gonna lie, just because I love being face-to-face. I love the interaction and building the relationship. So I was kind of concerned about how it was gonna go. I didn't know if it was gonna show well. And the more and more I did these, I started to realize how much of an amazing tool that these platforms, I mean, they're incredible, right? I mean, it's a exact representation of the product. You can still build that relationship. But like, you know, just taking a step back, what I found myself doing, it was just, it's crazy to think about it. Like I can start my day virtually and I'm in Traverse City doing an install for Munson. Then right after that, I'm in Grand Rapids, you know, doing an install for Spectrum Health, and cut over to Detroit and I'm with Henry Ford doing an install. And then I'm down in Fort Wayne, Indiana in Parkview doing an install. And it's like, man, I haven't even had lunch yet. Right. So it's crazy, man. So if you just think about the blessings of the season, right, the tools and clinical resources that we've been able to put and, you know, implement within our operations, I mean, it's been able to expand our reach exponentially, just improve our productivity, while still being able to provide that value and build that relationship. So, you know, I feel like we're just getting started and I'm excited to see, you know, how much more growth we're going to have, you know, for this year and years to come.
Yeah. Hey, one comment, let me piggyback what Gino just said. And so specifically, you know, think of the objective of every phone call that you are making. If you're a manufacturer rep, you're making a call to a distributor rep, you have to think clearly, what do I want the distributor rep to agree or commit to as a result of this phone call? And typically that initial reach out that you make to a distributor rep should have one objective. And that objective is to get he or she to agree to a Zoom presentation. You will be able to get way more done with screenshots, with videos, with clinical studies, white papers, if you get them to a Zoom. Right now, the same thing applies, just as Gino said, it can be around the globe before lunch. Remember, the objective of our initial phone call or that initial email is to get to the Zoom presentation. Now, you may think that, oh, my clients, they're not into Zoom. That's you have to ask for it. Everyone is into this medium now. So that is our first objective after making a cold call. Get on where we can show screenshots. They can look you in the eye. They can see how passionate you are about your solution. That's going to lead to the next step in the sales process.
Yeah, you know, I always equate it to when I'm talking to folks that are a little bit nervous about doing it or kind of feel like they don't need to do it. They can still just do a conference call. I'm like, you know, when I got out of college, I sold Toyotas for the first 3 years. just to try to make a living. And I had a sales manager that demanded if someone walked on the lot, they had to do a demo. You had to get them in the car. And his line was always, the feel of the wheel will seal the deal. And it's so true. You have to have a visual. And the other thing that I would give is, why do they build model homes? Because it's a hell of a lot easier to sell a $400,000 house when you can walk through one and see what it looks like than looking at it on a blueprint. And so I think this, getting to the Zoom call is so key. I got one last question for you, Sully, or for the group, but Sully, I'd like to lead with you on it, you know, because you get to see a bunch of different organizations, maybe even outside of healthcare in some senses. What are you seeing is successful as far as teamwork and proven effective when doing a little bit of a divide and conquer and working with distribution reps and your partners?
So two things there, right? So teamwork within, let's say, a your own company, and then teamwork with the sales partner, in this case, a distributor. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So again, you know, not to, to feel like I'm working for Zoom.com, but you brought it up earlier, right? I mean, you could sit and have a nice cocktail with them. I'm not huge on the, you know, the booze happy hours. I'd rather meet my buddies out, frankly. But again, I'm seeing more leaders, managers doing a great job of saying, hey, what was typically the Friday morning 9 o'clock phone call, there's something a little bit different. Even now, I'm able to look at Manny sitting in his easy chair. I'm able to see you in that nice sports coat, right? Gino's in his lab. Right. So I think that the technology has allowed us to feel closer. And here's why. Body language matters. Body language matters. In fact, in your messages, 55% of what is received from the other person is based more on your body language and your tone of voice. Well, you know, the old meetings were just done on phone calls. So again, I'm going back to this. Turn your camera on. It's still driving me nuts when I'll see reps in a meeting with their camera off. I'm saying, hey, bro, this is not college. You're not sitting in bed taking a math class. This is real money-making stuff right now, right? So I got to look you in the eye, and I think that's really, really important. So turn the camera on and do it frequently. The number of contacts will increase in 2021 if you want them to, and if they do, they're going to lead to more demos and more sales.
Yeah, I think you're dead on that, Sully. Just the more you get in front of folks. I mean, we do it here from an advertising standpoint with my sales reps. So you got to have more and more demos, and we got to be on more calls and face to face. And you know, we're all over the country, so it's really nice to be able to have those and have, you know, five or six of those a day via Zoom, looking right at the customer. And what's interesting is when I first started doing them, I was exhausted with them. I didn't want to do them. And more and more, you know, now it's just like I said, like the other day when I was on the phone, when I had that Zoom call with the gentleman, we were having a cocktail. That was after four or five business calls, that Zoom calls that day, you know, that were at my desk. This was at my house just because he was a couple states away. Yeah. But anyways, Manny, would you like to jump in and say anything?
Yeah, just an ending. I think Gino articulated the power of the day in the field of a rep today versus yesterday, and the amount of reach coverage that we can now affect through these new tools. And the better we are at doing them, the better we're going to be with our customer base. I just think it's an incredible outcome. And despite all the challenges, and you know, we've all gone through them, we're in an industry where we're essential, and we have to get out there and make a difference. And I think we are.
100%. I appreciate everything you guys do. And I applaud you guys for enlisting Sully and honing in these skills. I think it'll pay huge dividends for you going into 2021 and beyond.
Scotty, it helps pay my mortgage and college expenses. So Manny, I do appreciate your support on behalf of Sullivan.com.
Sully, why don't you give yourself a little plug on the ESPN radio show while we're here?
All right, for those of you who like golf, perhaps you're a single handicap, maybe a double handicap, make sure you check out the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio 1510 Kansas City. You can check it out on Apple or Podbean. We'll see you at golfunderground.com.
That's the healthcare industry, former Welch Allen sales trainer of the year, has his own ESPN show. It's like hell froze over, or we had snow in Houston last week, but he's got it. Guys, I appreciate you for being on the call with me today. Thank you so much, and have a great week.
Thanks, Scotty. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
I knew that would be a really good conversation with those guys. I've got to applaud MedPro for looking at a situation that they could have easily been like, we can't get in front of accounts, we can't get in front of distributors. You know, ho-hum, the whole Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh attitude, and they didn't. They took the bull by the horns. They hired Sully, got him in, got him training their reps to have better skill sets for doing demos via Zoom and other different types of platforms, and they're having a lot of success with it. Hopefully this podcast was good for you and gave you some ideas. I really like Gino's idea of setting up your own home studio. I think it's key. The more that you can see face-to-face and be in front of your customers face-to-face, it's going to help you sell more. So good luck. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast, and we will be back with a bunch more coming here in the near future. Have a great week and good luck selling.